back to Plot Twist. I forgot. I'm Davin.
I'm Laura.
And happy May. We are now officially halfway to Halloween. How does it feel? Do you feel like
you're coming more alive? Oh, don't make me talk about halfway to Halloween.
Okay, we don't have to talk about the specifics like that. I just mean the fact that we are 5 months closer to the best month of the year.
It's weird how 5 months is halfway there. And not 4 months. Anyway, no need to scream into the microphone. I do. The weather is improving here, and that's nice. I think I'm going to be snow-free for the rest of, until November. So, yay. I am excited. I'm ready for some summer horror.
Me too. I know. I keep seeing Summerween posts, and even Spirit, I guess, announced their theme for this year, which is like... It's basically Friday the 13th, but they're calling it Camp something else. Like, it's not Camp Crystal, like, it's Camp something with an H. I just saw this last night, but they're going to have a new Friday the 13th merch and stuff. So I am very excited.
I did not know they had a theme.
Me either. This is the first time I've ever heard about this, so I don't know if this is true. Maybe it's not. I hope it's true, because the reel looked really cool, but yeah.
Interesting. More. I haven't been inside a Spirit of Halloween in I don't know how long.
Oh my god, I go every year. There's one, I know where it is. It always opens up in the same little spot that is never bought. It's always empty until Spirit comes around in September. And yeah.
Yeah, I think there's going to be one this year because a Party City closed and they put a Spirit of Christmas in there. So I was like, oh, perhaps.
Oh, you actually got Spirit Christmas? Because I heard about that. I don't think we got one.
Yeah, I didn't go inside, but I saw it with my eyes because it's next to the Barnes & Noble, so.
You were right there. Right there. You could have done it.
I just was more feeling the spirit of spending my money somewhere else.
Spending my money on more books that I still have to read. Well, this month we are doing something a little bit different, just in the sense that we are reading a short story collection that Laura chose, which has been on both of our TBRs. Do you want to tell the people, what are we reading?
We are reading Never Whistle at Night, an Indigenous dark fiction anthology, and that's edited by Shane Hawk, Theodore Van Alst, with an introduction from Stephen Graham Jones.
Yes, so exciting. And they also, you have impeccable timing, because I think at like a month after you said, hey, let's do this, because you recommended this and our last episode, they announced that there's going to be a sequel to this anthology, which is Never Whistle at Night, Back for Blood, I think is what it's called.
So. I love what they did with the cover. They just wrote like part two and blood over it. It's amazing.
I was like, I think the cover looks almost the same except for that little portion. So that's really, really fun. And I can't wait. I think, what, that's out in October? Isn't? Maybe that's just me being hopeful. I don't remember the release date for that one, but.
Oh, come on, Goodreads. Just because I put Mever doesn't mean you can't figure it out.
They need you to be so specific, and if you are not, you are just never going to
Storygraph would never. It actually comes out August 18th.
Ooh, very soon. So we decided that we would talk about some horror, or just anthologies. It doesn't have to be horror, but just short story anthologies that we've either read, wanted to read, all of that fun stuff. So if you are a short story fan, This one's going to be for you. But I'm curious, how do you feel about short stories? Because I feel like I never finish a full anthology, because I'm like, cool, I read this one and that was a complete story. On to the next thing. And then I just repeat forever until I die.
Yeah, I do. I do generally have trouble reading them all the way through. I have found, now that I'm in my audiobook era, it is easier for me to listen to them, because I like get in the car, I listen to two, and then I'm like, oh, it's just like pausing a book. It seems to have made it a little bit easier for me. But when I would try and read them with my eyeballs, I would get like choice fatigue, where I would read one and be like, all right, I did that.
Mm-hmm. I think that's also hard too, because you go in and I always look for like, okay, what authors, like, is there an author I want to start with? And then you go to that one and then it's like, well, then I have to start from the beginning. So then it's kind of this weird like jump around. It's not always a linear reading experience. It's just like, I'm gonna go here today because I like this author, whatever it might be.
But sometimes that's good. It's nice to have something when you're like, maybe even just trying to get back into reading. Like, I haven't tried it, but if you just sit mm-hmm. down and like read a short story, does that kick something off for you? Like, yeah. that could be a good way to do it. I don't know. I have not tried.
You should take your own advice, ma'am.
I've just started new shows.
There it is. The unwell train is still going strong.
Okay, like. But I've been watching some fabulous television.
Oh,
so
okay.
It's okay.
We'll have to talk about that too. But do you want to kick us off with what are some of your anthologies? What's on your list?
So Stephen King is pretty known for his short story collections. Like, lots of them have been made into movies and shows and blah, blah, blah. Mm-hmm. But The End of the World as We Know It, New Tales of Stephen King's The Stand, which is edited by Christopher Gold...
Yes, it sure is.
It's edited by Christopher Golden and Brian Keene. Cool. And there's an introduction from Stephen King because, like, they had to get his blessing to do it. Obviously, it's his intellectual property, blah, blah, blah. But this was one of the first ones that I've read, like, recently that worked for me where every story I was like, wow. Because The Stand is one of those, like, kind of formative books for me. I read it when I was, you know, older, mm-hmm. and it wasn't my first King. But, like, my parents have both read it, and we had to take, like, a really sad road trip last year, and we, like, listened to that, and it became kind of, like, a comic relief, which is funny to say, because there's a character who spells everything M-O-O-N, you know, and so we would, like, as a family, just be like, M-O-O-N, that spells thank you, like, just goofing around, yeah. and it just kind of, like, helped... Because that trip was just awful. And so The Stand holds a special place in my heart. And I remember really enjoying a lot of these stories. And it's funny because I re-listened to that and then was like, oh, this short story collection is out. Like, I don't have to be done with The Stand yet. So yeah, I really liked it. I would love to tell you some of the authors that are in it, but I can't. Yes, I can. So Nat Cassidy does a story.
Oh, amazing.
Mm-hmm. S.A. Crosby does a story. Tananarive Due does a story. Paul Tremblay is in there. Chuck Wendig. Like, it's,
oh my gosh, that's a banger of a list so far.
It's everybody.
Yeah.
Cynthia Paleo, who I love, does a story. And I think I have several of, like, my anthologies have a story by her. Alma Katsu does a story. Like, it's all of the, it's everybody.
Yeah. I'll have to put that on my list then, because that does sound, I like the authors that you've listed off. And funny too, Nat Cassidy, that's his release this year, right? He's doing short stories, I think, that come out in like September,
from what I think. I was so, yeah.
Seeing. So that's kind of,
because it's like Rest Stop and other stories. I think it's all liminal spaces, maybe. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Well, one of mine, I have like two actual short stories to call out because of the person I just said I am. I don't usually finish full anthologies for quite a while, but one of them that I wanted to get, which I talked about a few episodes ago that I wanted to read, was Night and Day, edited by Ellen Datlow, which is like a Saga Press double. So it has like all the stories either take place at night or, of course, during the day. So you kind of have like these two different perspectives, and it's fun because you get to flip the book. It's like once you get to the end, you actually have to flip it all the way over to then read the day stories or the night stories. So one of the ones that really stuck with me, because it is easily the most disturbing thing I think I've ever read in my life, it was Eric LaRocca's story, which is called We Take Our Skin Off in the Dark. And it is so, and I don't have to bleep this out, it's fucked up. It is like, and the way he writes it, he's like, I do this to you, like, you look at me like this, and then I think blah blah blah. So it's like really personal in a way, and it is just, there's not that much you can say without giving away what it is, but it is so terrifying. And it's like, what did I just read? Like, I love it and I also hate it, and I have to sit here and think about this now that you wrote this. Thank you so much. No, thank you.
I feel like that's Eric LaRocca's bag. Like, they're really good at making you feel terrible.
100%. It was so disturbing. And Stephen Graham Jones's story also is one of my other favorites in here. And his is called The Door of Sleep, which is also disturbing because you're not going to be able to look at something the same way ever. It's just going to, like, I don't know. It's very meta. it's like about this little girl, and she's told a story and then takes it to real, and then like the meta part comes in, and then you're just like, when he ends it, you're like, oh no, don't do that, please.
Hate that.
Thank you. Yeah, I would highly recommend the stories I've read so far. I'm like 120 pages into it, and so far the stories are pretty interesting. So if you want one, that's my first one.
That's a good pick. Another one I read, actually, all the way through. We're going to talk about Ellen Datlow a lot because, like, she edits a lot of these anthologies. And yeah. I think I have two from her on my list.
Oh, perfect. Yes.
Another one I read is Christmas and Other Horrors, a Winter Solstice anthology. And this was just, again, it's got a lot of the same people. Stephen Graham Jones does a story. Tanan Reeve Du does a story. Amakatsu, like, similar names. Cassandra Kaw has a story in this one.
Oh, sign me up.
Yeah. And it's fun because, like, it approaches the stories, like, all at the winter time, but, like, different holidays, different cultural traditions, mm-hmm. different, like, folk tales revolving around wintertime. And I really enjoyed every story in this book, mm-hmm. and that's kind of surprising, because there's always going to be something you don't like. But yeah. I gave this 5 stars, and I loved every minute of it. I listened to it around holiday time in December, and it was just so much fun.
I want to read that one. I can't remember if I bought it, because that's the other thing, too. I feel like what's cool is that a lot of short story collections end up being pretty affordable as ebooks if you don't want, like, the physical book, or you mm-hmm. want a more affordable option. And so I'm pretty sure I've seen that one on sale, and I think I bought it. I can't remember, but, I mean, you know me. If I see Stephen Graham Jones is on it, I'm more than likely going to go buy it just because I want to make sure read his story. And then there usually are some other bangers in there from authors you know. And a lot, I feel like, recently, too, that I haven't heard of, which is also really fun to find some new voices.
And that's kind of a thing in Never Whistle at Night. There are several authors in there who you haven't heard of or who aren't even traditionally published. Mm-hmm. I wouldn't say a lot, but there are a few authors. There's at least one I can specifically remember. And when I listened to that story, I was like, wow, like, if this is an unpublished author, we need to get
more, more, more.
Yeah.
Well, hopefully more comes for them, because so far the one I'm reading is good. And I know I'm excited about that one. I think just for what you said, too, just the different traditions and different storytelling and the folk tales and all those other elements that we need to read more of.
Yeah.
My next one is one I haven't read yet, but it's been on my TBR for quite a while. It was actually a recommendation from my brother he wanted to read, which is funny because he normally reads manga, and this is like a not manga book that he recommended. So I was like, that's cool. We can at least do that together. And that's The King in Yellow by Robert W. Chambers. I don't know if you've heard of this one, but it is an anthology, and it is like short stories, but this thing, there's a play called The King in Yellow, and that's the thing that ties the story, like all the stories together, is that that motif comes in throughout. And I just hear someone I follow on Instagram was posting about it, and some of her like feedback or just thoughts about it sounded really cool. But it's apparently an eerie mystery, madness and supernatural horror where boundaries between reality and the unknown are blurred. So The King in Yellow is, I guess, this play that induces despair or madness in those who read it. So
It's giving The Last Movie or whatever.
Yeah, I'm not doing this one justice. I honestly just was told about it. My brother wanted to read it. I was like, sign me up. I'll buy it. Someone else was talking about it. I was like, okay, definitely. I need to pick it up, you know, especially with reading with eyes being so slow. It's probably a good little thing to pick up and be like, cool, I finished something and so lame. I'm good. Yeah. Yes. So
that sounds very interesting.
Yeah. Apparently, I wonder if this is like a ploy because The King in Yellow. Oh, the book is named after a play. Got it. So this is a real play because the first published in January 1st, 1895. I'm like, I don't know that that's correct. Wait a second.
That seems wrong.
Who knows? I know nothing. But yeah, King in Yellow.
Alrighty. We're going to get good old Ellen Datlow out of the way. This is my last one by her. I have not read this one, but it's one of our special interests, we'll say. And it's called Final Cuts, New Tales of Hollywood Horror and Other Spectacles.
Ooh, fun.
Yeah. It's a... Did you know that Blumhouse or Blumhouse, however you say that, they publish books? It's a Blumhouse book.
I want to say yes, but which is unfortunate, but hopefully you're doing good things with it, but let's not talk about
Blumhouse. I mean, they have, again, like a really good list of authors. So this is from the secret reels of a notoriously cursed cinematic masterpiece to the debauched live streams of modern movie junkies who will do anything for clicks. Final Cuts brings together new and terrifying stories inspired by the many screens we can't peel our eyes away from. Inspired by the rich golden age of the film and television industries, as well as the new media present, this new anthology reveals what evils hide behind the scenes and between the frames of our favorite medium.
That sounds really good. I'm a sucker for... I think we all are. I was just thinking about this last night because I went to the movies and saw The Mummy, and for some reason I was also thinking about, like, Night Film and, like, those, like, formative horror stories, and you just want to chase that high, and that sounds very much like that in a way.
And it's, again, Josh Mellerman, Christopher Golden, Stephen Graham Jones, Garth Nix, Cassandra Kaw.
I love this so much. I think that's what's so cool is, like, you get little, like, micro doses of your favorite authors for, like, just, you know, even 10 pages.
Right.
It's perfect. My next one, we're going to throw it back to another author that we've read before, which is Julia Armfield. She wrote Our Wives Under the Sea, which was one of our picks, but her debut was a collection of short stories called Salt Slow, and... I'm pretty sure I read, like, all but one of these, but it was really cool because it was body horror. I think some of it was more, like, this was why I expected a different level of body horror than what we got in Our Wives Under the Sea. Not that there wasn't body horror, but it was just very different. Mm-hmm. But this one is a lot of fun. There's, like, one about a little girl and... she transforms into something interesting. It's fun. That's the one that stands out to me the most. I don't remember most of the other ones. I do remember liking them. But it's like mythic, it's gothic. It's if you want body horror, I think this would be a good one to pick up. And I think it's also a lot of it centers around women, which is fun. So if that's something that is important or something you want to read about, this one was a good one.
She has, like, really beautiful writing, too, so I can see how that would...
Yeah, she really does.
My next one is... What is it? It's a surprise.
Who knows? Not even Laura.
It is Out There Screaming, edited by Jordan Peele. So this is all Black authors and horror stories. I'll read a little bit of this. A groundbreaking anthology of all new stories of Black horror, exploring not only the terrors of the supernatural, but the chilling reality of injustice that haunts our nation. A cop begins seeing huge blinking eyes where the headlights of cars should be that tell him to pull over. Terrible.
No, thank you. But also, I want to read that. Thank you so much.
Two freedom riders take a bus ride that leaves them stranded on a lonely road in Alabama where several unsettling somethings await them.
Oh, no. That one's going to be dark.
Yeah. A young girl dives into the depths of the earth in search of the demon that killed her parents.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
So those are just a few of the stories. But N.K. Jemisin has a story in this.
Yes.
Yeah. P. DeJelly Clark, who I love, has a story in this.
You've mentioned them before. That name sounds familiar. I'm so glad you brought that up because I remember being so excited when that was announced, and I own that. And, like, I haven't read it yet. That's what I love about us being able just to, like, talk into the void about books. Because then we get off and I'm like, I just want to read literally everything right now. And then I don't do that. And then I just think that all the time.
And then I turn on the television and I'm like, man, what a wasted opportunity. Yes. However, it does, like, instill in me, like I want to read.
Yeah.
Mentally. But physically, the eyeballs are like, we would rather not. But thank you for asking.
Yeah, I'm glad you at least, you know, entertained the idea, but it's not going to happen.
I read one chapter of The Caretaker and was like, maybe later.
Okay, you know what? Total side note. So I have been struggling reading with eyes, but I did finally, after 2 years, finish Red Rising. So I'm counting that as a win.
Oh my God.
Thank you. Thank you so much, everybody.
Congrats.
For that one. You know, it's so funny. Reading the end of that, I was like, here I was 2 weeks ago with you talking about how much I love political fantasy. And then I get to the end of like all the maneuvering and I'm like, I literally stopped at like the best part of this
yeah.
book.
Like, I mean, I'm down. Telling you, you will like that series.
Yeah.
And then you could be like, hell yeah, shit yeah, yeah, brother, with the rest of us. It'll be great.
I know. I did. I told my friend who recommended it to me, I was like, because we talked about reading a book together. And I was like, okay, listen, I finished this. And she was like, you need to read Golden Sun. I was like, I either read Golden Sun right now because we have this momentum, or we read the other book. What do you want to do? And so I have Golden Sun ready on my Kindle to
Yeah,
to
you read. Should propel into it. You are at a point where there's more like political goings on yeah. and less, you know, that group of kids stole my meat or whatever.
Yes, exactly. Like once we got to like the other part of it, I was like, oh, okay, this is good.
Wait until you get to Morningstar.
Oh, I know. Well, I'm curious too, because everyone says the ending of Golden Sun is interesting, like very crazy or something, is what I've seen on Reels. So I don't know. Yeah, your face. I'm sure I'll text you once I get to that. Anyways, short stories. Okay. So after I read Fever Dream, I was like, I love Samantha Schweblin. I want to own everything you've written so that at one point when I'm feeling it in 80 years, I can read it. Because still, Fever Dream is the only book I've read, and I own two of her books. So the other one is, I think, okay, this was not new when I bought it, but it was on sale, I think, when I got it. But that's Seven Empty Houses. It was written by Samantha Schweblin and translated by Megan McDowell. So the premise of this one is the seven houses in these seven stories are empty. Some are devoid of love or life or furniture, of people or the truth or of memories. But in Samantha Schweblin's tense, visionary tales, something always creeps back in. A ghost, a fight, trespassers. That does not make sense. A list of things to do before you die, a child's first encounter with a dark choice, or the fallibility of parents. So this one just sounds good. I like how she writes and the different takes she does on horror. So I'm excited to dive into this one because she writes some weird stuff in the best way possible.
I do love some weird girl lit, man.
Yeah, for the weird girlies, I definitely think Samantha Schweblin is one of the ones you have to read.
For the sci-fi fans, so I've known that they do these, but I didn't see it until they released the third one, and that's From a Certain Point of View, Return of the Jedi. And these are all short stories based on that Star Wars film.
Okay.
And that's edited by Elizabeth Schaefer. It talks about how great Star Wars is and how formative it is in there. We don't need to go over that. Everybody knows. In honor of the 40th anniversary, 40 storytellers recreate an iconic scene from Return of the Jedi through the eyes of a supporting character, from heroes and villains to droids and creatures. Olivia Blake provides a chilling glimpse into the mind of Emperor Palpatine.
Ooh, okay.
Saladin Ahmed recounts the tragic history of the Rancor trainer. Like, there's just really interesting stories. And I don't know a lot of these authors, so that would just be kind of fun. And as, like, a Star Wars fan, we're a Star Wars household. I've tried to get Ray to read some of these, but I don't think it would hold his attention. But it just seems like kind of a fun and different take, because I've read some of the, like, YA short stories that, like, I think Zoraida Cordova has one that mm-hmm. I read. And it's kind of fun to revisit that. It's very nostalgic.
Yeah. One of my next ones, again, haven't read it, but the cover is beautiful and I love Dark Academia. And this is a Dark Academia anthology.
This is on my list.
Okay, well, let's talk about it. In These Hallowed Halls.
Yes.
Yes? Okay. So this one was edited by Marie O'Regan and Paul Kane. And again, Olivia Blake, ML Rio, and JT Ellison. I saw those names and I was like, sign me up. And there's some other writers, which I'm assuming are amazing, but I haven't read them yet. Have you read any of these stories? Have you checked this one out yet? Okay.
I just found out about it. Not today. Definitely not today. I didn't put this list together today. But I just found out about it so recently.
I think there's also, I think they're doing a sequel. I think there's another anthology coming of this stuff. But, I mean, it's kind of just, I think, what you would expect from Dark Academia. So you have Dear Student, Retribution Visits Eloth. In these stories, who writes these Goodreads?
I don't know. Storygraph would never, and that's, Storygraph would never count two for this episode.
In these stories, Dear Student, Retribution Visits a Lothario Lecturer, the sinister truth is revealed about a missing professor, a forsaken lover uses a seance for revenge, sign me up,
ooh,
an obsession blooms about a possible illicit affair. Ooh, this one sounds fun. Two graduates exhume the secrets of a reclusive scholar, and horrors
exhume.
Are uncovered. Yeah, so bodies are getting dug up in this one. And there's an obscure academic department, and I'm assuming this one is Olivia Blake's, which is five hopeful initiates must complete a murderous task, and much more. That's hard.
Why? What is with her and her hopeful initiates?
No, I was like, that. There's no way that's not Olivia Blake's. But this one sounds fun. It's, again, it's always been on, it's like right there on my bookshelf, and would probably be fun for like October, November, and I,
yeah.
Here I am.
You gotta read that one for back to school.
Oh my god, yeah, we have to do another back to school episode and we'll read that.
My next one that I want to read is Howl, an anthology of werewolves from women in horror. And this is edited by Lindy Ryan and Stephanie Witovich, maybe.
Nailed it.
And it's got an introduction from Rachel Harrison, which...
Sign me up. Okay.
You know how I feel about her. Flesh splits, bones break, screams build. The synchronicity of woman and wolf has long been buried. Ruled by the moon in her cycles of blood, rage, and transformation, the desire to pull, to shape shift, and transmute runs deep beneath her skin. She is a beacon of duality, the divine and the monstrous, the deep glow of wolfsbane, and the indent of fresh bite marks on skin. We fear her because we are her, the feral, the wild, the mad. From Angela Carter's The Company of Wolves to Rachel Harrison's Such Sharp Teeth, women have been dancing with the wolf and teasing it out of the woods for centuries. We feed the untamed, hoping to release the beast inside, giving us strength, sisterhood, and the confidence to howl. The animal releases us from shame and permits us to seek out and accept our truth. With the wolf, we are free. With freedom, we are empowered. In a world where silver is the least of our worries, Howl seeks to give voice to the wolves and women of contemporary horror as they shed their skin, unhinge their jaws, and bare their teeth for all to see. Wow.
So wait, who is the editor of that one?
The editor is Lindy Ryan and Stephanie Witovich.
Okay, because I found, and I cannot find this online. I was trying, because I was like, I need to read those. Thank you so much. Oh, it's on Kindle Unlimited.
Oh, look at that in my plans for this evening.
I have to show you this, because I was trying to find what it was, because I thought that sounds so great. Thank you for that recommendation. And I found this, which is not at all what you were talking about, but look at that cover. Can you see it?
Oh, pretty.
This
is the one time where I would be like, hey girl, maybe AI.
Lame Gore Press. I love their font choice. It's very charmed 90s.
Yeah, it's giving Evanescence fan.
I'm so sorry for interrupting you, but I had to share that.
No, I was done anyway, and I needed to see that more than I need to talk.
That was fun, but that sounds so, that one sounds really good. I feel like, I don't know what it was about, and I want to look into it, but there's a new book called Feral, and it has, like, a woman on the cover. She looks like a 50s housewife, but, like, I think something's weird with her eyes or smile. I'm assuming it has something to do with wolves just because of the name, but maybe not. Anyways, it sounds fun. So, that's my little tangent
And I, it's another one of my little niche interests. I love a werewolf story, and... especially if it's written by a woman, like Rachel Harrison's Such Sharp Teeth. That's one of my favorites by her.
Yes.
It made me feel seen. It made me feel like it's okay to eat a whole rotisserie chicken in bed if I want to.
Correct.
You know? Mm-hmm. Just
Just girly things.
I was gonna say just girly things.
No. Speaking of, so kind of going back to Dark Academia as just a little footnote. So there is another Dark Academia anthology by the same editors, Maria Reagan and Paul Kane, called These Dreaming Spires. It's already out. And this one features, again, Olivia Blake is back, M.K. Lobb, which I would be very excited to read her story or their story, and Kate Alice Marshall is also in it. So I would also, those three sound amazing. But my next one has a very interesting title. I got this as an ARC. I unfortunately have not read it yet because I am just...
Jail.
Yeah, send me to jail. I'm so sorry, guys. The title is amazing. It's called White Trash and Recycled Nightmares by Rebecca Rowland. This one, it's like, it's short. I can show you, right? It's small, but there's 20 short stories in here, apparently, from like witches, wendigos, werecats, sirens, sadists, serial killers. Rebecca Rowland serves readers a 20-tale meal of cosmic creature and quiet horror in platters heaping with unsettling trepidation. So it sounds amazing. Like it's just going to be batshit, and I love that. So
I also love that. What if... Weird title for what are the contents of the book.
I know, yeah. I kind of love it, honestly. I feel like the store, like short story title, like collection titles are always really fun because it's kind of just either going to be like Aardvark's Come Closer was actually a story title in the book, which was Stephen Graham Jones's story, I think it was. Or they're just completely wild and like they don't totally have something to do with it. Exactly, and
yeah,
you know,
I forgot about Aardvark's.
Me too. I got it. Same. Uh-huh. Haven't read it,
and I completely forgot it existed until just now when you said that.
Yes, you're very welcome. That's what I'm here for.
All right, I think this is my last one.
Okay,
and I picked it one because of the title, two because of one specific description of a story. Well, actually, two. I don't know. They all sound funny. So this isn't horror or fantasy. Yay for us. We got one. Mm. And this is called Be Gay, Do Crime, 16 Stories of Queer Chaos.
I want this. I need to own it's that. Thank you.
An amazing, amazing title. It's edited by Molly Llewellyn and Crystal Buckley. Apparently, this is a follow-up to their runaway success, Peach Pit, 16 Stories of Unsavory Women. Hello.
Yeah, give it to me.
So these... this is a celebration of queer chaos from an all-queer author lineup featuring Miriam Gerba, Emily Austin, Alyssa Nutting, and Francesca Equiasi. I did terrible there, and I hate myself. So here are a few blips. A trans woman makes increasingly frequent hoax calls to a business where she's received a negative experience. Perfect. No notes.
Yes, I'm done. Uh-huh. Continue.
Watching the consequences with perverse joy. Same. A group of aging queers turns to bank robbery to stop the sale of their bungalow complex to a development company.
I love that. Make that a movie option. Thanks.
As the president prepares to give a speech, two women lurk among the journalists ready to shoot him. We took a dark turn there.
Whoa, okay. I'm sure he deserved it. I don't know.
And an aspiring author takes to stealing items from strangers' homes in a kind of cosmic redistribution each time one of her relationships fail.
Oh, gay Robin Hood. So, I love that.
Gay Robin Hood!
That sounds so fun.
Queer Robin Hood, I guess we should say.
Okay, yeah, fair. There you go. Thank
you. Yeah. So some of them sound really funny. Some of them sound a little dark. But I'm sure all of them are interesting. So in 16 brilliant, wild-eyed stories, Be Gay, Do Crime delivers a celebration and reckoning of why queer people turn to crime, be it unintentionally, as a means of survival, as a protest, as rescue, or to right injustices big and small.
That's going on the list for sure.
Yeah, it sounds like an all-around good time.
My last one is one that came out this year, and maybe it came out in December, apparently, but I purchased it in January, so it came out last year. I'm a liar. But before I tell you that, I have to tell you what Amazon is sponsoring me, and I fully blame this on you because of what you've made me read in the past.
Donut porn.
Yeah, basically, except this one is Romantic Poems to Read to Your Penis, a collection of heartfelt verses for your most intimate audience.
Ew, no. Never, ever read a poem to your penis.
So now that that horror story's out of the way. Gross. This one is Midnight Somewhere. It's Johnny Compton's short story collection.
Yeah.
And I, like, read only a little bit of it. I just saw he had it out, and I was like, purchase. I don't care what it's about. I will read it. So a few of the stories, a man gets into a car that can take him anywhere he can imagine, including the past, into the worst mistake of his life, a memory he does not want to relive, cannot escape, and is even more afraid to alter. A seemingly harmless, forgettable film about alien hand syndrome inspires a wave of self-harm among viewers, and even stranger things among those who become obsessed with it.
Alien hand syndrome?
Yeah, that's what it says. We will Google that in a second.
I'm scared. I'm scared, Johnny Compton. What does that mean?
Johnny Compton, please tell us what this means. And my, probably what is going to be my favorite is a woman tries to bring her dead lover to life through a macabre ritual that requires attacking his corpse. Is it because she longs to be with him again, or because the two of them have unfinished business? I hope she killed him and then is bringing him back to kill him again.
Yeah, that I'm not be, done.
That better be how that one
and
goes.
Another thing.
And yeah, I was not done, thank you. Okay, so apparently alien hand syndrome is a rare neurological disorder where a limb, typically hand, acts involuntarily and independently of the patient's control, often appearing to have a mind of its own.
Oh, nightmare fuel.
Yeah, that's gonna get weird. That's gonna be bizarre.
Oh, no.
Oh, how fun. So many short stories we have to read. So many collections.
I know, so, and they all sound so good, and it is, like, a category of reading that I definitely neglect, because I've, like, told myself I don't love it in the past, but yeah. I really enjoyed every story in Never Whistle at Night, besides one that I didn't listen to, and we'll talk about why later.
Interesting.
But, yeah, I really enjoyed it. I'm like, I should do this more often.
I know. I think about that, too. I think I need to like, rearrange my bookshelf so that I can, like, see these ones a little bit more, because I think that's the other issue, too. It's, like, I know I have it, but I don't see it all the time. But even when I do see it all the time, I'm just like, yeah, that would be cool to read, and then I am not reading it. Will we change? Who knows? Probably not. But, you know, it's a nice thought.
I will think about changing.
I will, yes. You know what? Same. Let's do that. Can do that. Well, tune in 2 weeks. We're not gonna discuss every story, because that would just be such a long rambling episode. We're just gonna kind of talk about a few of our favorites, or the ones that stood out, or anything like that from our book Never Whistle at Night. And kind of I would recommend you read it. The little bit I've read of it is very good. I know Laura liked it, so don't come into that next episode unless you want it ruined for you. And you should just read it.
Yeah, you should.
As usual. In the meantime, you can follow us at Plot Twist I Forgot Instagram, and our individual Instagram handles are in the show notes below. And we will see you in 2 weeks.
Goodbye.
Bye.